Chapter 19. Beneath the Dagger. Night on the edge of Kinslayer's Dagger was cold, as nights in the mountains are always cold. The wind whipped down from the high peaks, carrying the iciness of the snowcaps. Rand shifted on the hard ground, tugging at his cloak and blanket, and only half asleep. His hand went to his sword, lying beside him. "One more day," he thought drowsily. "Just one more, and then we go. If no one comes tomorrow, Ingtar or Dark Friends One, I'll take Selene to Kyrian." He had told himself that before. Every day they had been there on the mountainside, watching the place where Huron said the trail had been, in that other world, where Selene said the Dark Friends would surely appear in this world, he told himself it was time to leave. And Selene talked of the Horn of Valir and touched his arm and looked into his eyes, and before he knew it, he had agreed to yet another day before they went on. He shrugged against the chill of the wind, thinking of Selene touching his arm and looking into his eyes. If Egwene saw that, she'd shear me for a sheep, and Selene too. Egwene could already be in Tarvalen by now, learning to be an Aes Sedai. The next time she sees me, she'll probably try to gentle me. As he shifted over, his hand slid past the sword and touched the bundle holding Tom Marilyn's harp and flute. Unconsciously, his fingers tightened on the gleeman's cloak. "I was happy then, I think, even running for my life, playing the flute for my supper. I was too ignorant to know what was going on. There's no turning back." Shivering, he opened his eyes. The only light came from the waning moon, not far past full and low in the sky. A fire would give them away to those for whom they watched. Loyal muttered in his sleep, a low rumble. One of the horses stamped a hoof. Huron had the first watch from a stone outcrop a little way up the mountain. He would be coming to wake Rand for his turn soon. Rand rolled over and stopped. In the moonlight, he could see the shape of Selene bending over his saddlebags, her hands on the buckles. Her white dress gathered the faint light. "Do you need something?" She gave a jump and stared toward him.
You startled me."
He rolled to his feet, shedding the blanket and wrapping the cloak around himself, and went to her. He was sure he had left the saddlebags right by his side when he lay down. He always kept them close. He took them from her. All the buckles were fastened, even those on the side that held the damning banner. "How can my life depend on keeping it? If anybody sees it and knows what it is, I'll die for having it." He peered at her suspiciously. Selene stayed where she was, looking up at him. The moon glistened in her dark eyes.
"It came to me," she said, "that I've been wearing this dress too long. I could brush it, at least, if I had something else to wear while I did. One of your shirts, perhaps."
Rand nodded, feeling a sudden relief. Her dress looked as clean to him as when he first saw her, but he knew that if a spot appeared on Egwene's dress, nothing would do but that she cleaned it immediately.
"Of course."
He opened the capacious pocket into which he had stuffed everything except the banner and pulled out one of the white silk shirts.
"Thank you."
Her hands went behind her back. To the buttons, he realized. Eyes wide, he spun away from her.
"If you could help me with these, it would be much easier."
Rand cleared his throat. "It would not be proper. It isn't as if we were promised or..."
"Stop thinking that. You can never marry anyone."
"It just wouldn't be proper." Her soft laugh sent a shiver down his back as if she had run a finger along his spine. He tried not to listen to the rustlings behind him. He said,
Tomorrow we'll leave for Kyrian."
"And what of the Horn of Valir?"
"Maybe we were wrong. Maybe they are not coming here at all.
Huron says there are a number of passes through Kinslayer's Dagger. If they went only a little further west, they do not have to come into the mountains at all."
"But the trail we followed came here. They will come here. The Horn will come here. You may turn around now."
"You say that, but we don't know..."
He turned, and the words died in his mouth. Her dress lay across her arm, and she wore his shirt, hanging in baggy folds on her.
It was a long-tailed shirt, made for his height, but she was tall for a woman. The bottom of it came little more than halfway down her thighs. It was not as if he had never seen a girl's legs before. Girls in the Two Rivers always tied up their skirts to go wading in Waterwood ponds. But they stopped doing it well before they were old enough to braid their hair. And this was in the dark, besides. The moonlight seemed to make her skin glow.
"What is it you don't know, Rand?"
The sound of her voice unfroze his joints. With a loud cough, he whirled to face the other way.
Think of the glory, Rand."
Her hand touched his back, and he almost shamed himself with a squeak.
"Think of the glory that will come to the one who finds the Horn of Valir. How proud I'll be to stand beside him who holds the horn. You have no idea the heights we will scale together, you and I. With the Horn of Valir in your hand, you can be a king. You can be another Arthur Hawkwing. You..."
"Lord Rand!"
Hurin panted into the campsite.
"My lord, they..."
He skidded to a halt, suddenly making a gurgling sound. His eyes dropped to the ground, and he stood wringing his hands.
"Forgive me, milady. I didn't mean to... forgive me."
Loyal sat up, his blanket and cloak falling away.
"What's happening? Is it my turn to watch already?"
He looked toward Rand and Selene, and even in the moonlight, the widening of his eyes was plain. Rand heard Selene sigh behind him. He stepped away from her, still not looking at her.
"Her legs are so white, so smooth."
"What is it, Hurin?"
He made his voice more moderate. Was he angry with Hurin, himself, or Selene?
No reason to be angry with her.
"Did you see something, Hurin?"
The sniffer spoke without raising his eyes.
"A fire, my lord, down in the hills. I didn't see it at first. They made it small and hid it. But they hid it from somebody following them, not somebody ahead and up above. 2 miles, Lord Rand. Less than 3 for sure."
"Fain," Rand said.
"Inktar would not be afraid of anyone following him.
It must be Fain."
Suddenly, he did not know what to do now. They had been waiting for Fain, but now that the man was only a mile or so away, he was uncertain.
In the morning we will follow. When Inktar and the others catch up, we'll be able to point right to them."
"So," Selene said, "you will let this Inktar take the Horn of Valir and the glory?"
"I don't want—"
Without thinking, he turned, and there she was, legs pale in the moonlight, and as unconcerned that they were bare as if she were alone.
"As if we were alone," the thought came. "She wants the man who finds the horn."
3 of us cannot take it away from them. Inktar has 20 lances with him."
"You don't know you cannot take it. How many followers does this man have? You don't know that either."
Her voice was calm but intent.
"You don't even know if these men camped down there do have the horn. The only way is to go down yourself and see. Take the Elantan. His kind have sharp eyes, even by moonlight, and he has the strength to carry the horn in its chest if you make the right decision."
"She's right. You do not know for sure if it's Fain." A fine thing it would be to have Hurin casting about for a trail that was not there, all of them out in the open, if the real Dark Friends did finally come.
"I will go alone," he said. "Hurin and Loyal will stand guard for you."
Laughing, Selene came to him so gracefully it almost seemed she danced. Moonshadows veiled her face in mystery as she looked up at him, and mystery made her even more beautiful.
"I am capable of guarding myself, until you return to protect me. Take the Elantan."
"She is right, Rand,"
Loyal said, rising.
"I can see better by moonlight than you. With my eyes, we may not need to go as close as you would alone."
"Very well."
Rand strode over to his sword and buckled it at his waist. Bow and quiver he left where they lay. A bow was not of much use in the dark, and he intended to look, not fight.
"Hurin, show me this fire."
The sniffer led him scrambling up the slope to the outcrop, like a huge stone thumb thrust out of the mountain. The fire was only a speck. He missed it the first time Hurin pointed. Whoever had made it did not mean for it to be seen. He fixed it in his head. By the time they returned to the camp, Loyal had saddled Red and his own horse. As Rand climbed to the bay's back, Celine caught his hand.
Remember the glory, she said softly. Remember.
The shirt seemed to fit her better than he recalled, molding itself to her form. He drew a deep breath and took his hand back.
Guard her with your life, Huron. Loyal.
He healed Red's flanks gently. The Ogier's big mount plodded along behind. They did not try to move quickly. Night shrouded the mountainside, and mooncast shadows made footing uncertain. Rand could not see the fire any longer. No doubt it was better hidden from eyes on the same level, but he had its location in his mind. For someone who had learned to hunt in the tangle of the Westwood, in the Two Rivers, finding the fire would be no great difficulty. And what then? Celine's face loomed before him. How proud I'll be to stand beside him who holds the horn.
Loyal,
he said suddenly, trying to clear his thoughts. What's this, a lantern she calls you?
It's the old tongue, Rand.
The Ogier's horse picked its way uncertainly, but he guided it almost as surely as if it were daylight.
It means brother, and is short for Tia Arvende a lantern. Brother to the trees. Tree brother. It is very formal, but then I've heard the Kyrianen are formal. The noble houses are, at least. The common people I saw there were not very formal at all.
Rand frowned. A shepherd would not be very acceptable to a formal Kyrianen noble house.
Light, Matt's right about you. You're crazy, and with a big head to boot. But if I could marry...
He wished he could stop thinking, and before he realized it, the void had formed within him, making thoughts distant things as if part of someone else. Saidin shone at him, beckoned to him. He gritted his teeth and ignored it. It was like ignoring a burning coal inside his head, but at least he could hold it at bay. Barely. He almost left the void, but the dark friends were out there in the night and closer now. And the Trollocs. He needed the emptiness, needed even the uneasy calm of the void.
I don't have to touch it. I don't.
After a time, he reined in Red. They stood at the base of a hill, the wide scattered trees on its slopes, black in the night.
I think we must be close by now, he said softly. Best we go the rest of the way on foot.
He slid from the saddle and tied the bay's reins to a branch.
Are you all right?
Loyal whispered, climbing down.
You sound odd.
I'm fine.
His voice sounded tight, he realized. Stretched.
Saidin called to him. No. Be careful. I can't be sure exactly how far it is, but that fire should be somewhere just ahead of us. On the hilltop, I think.
The Ogier nodded. Rand slowly stole from tree to tree, placing each foot carefully, holding his sword tight so it did not clatter against a tree trunk. He was grateful for the lack of undergrowth. Loyal followed like a big shadow. Loyal could not see much more of him than that. Everything was moon shadows and darkness. Suddenly, some trick of the moonlight resolved the shadows ahead of him, and he froze, touching the rough bole of a leather leaf. Dim mounds on the ground became men wrapped in blankets, and apart from them, a group of larger mounds, sleeping Trollocs. They had doused the fire. One moonbeam, moving through the branches, caught a shine of gold and silver on the ground halfway between the two groups. The moonlight seemed to brighten. For an instant, he could see clearly. The shape of a sleeping man lay close by to the gleam, but that was not what held his eye.
The chest, the horn,
and something atop it, a point of red flashing in the moonbeam.
The dagger. Why would Fain put...
Loyal's huge hand settled over Rand's mouth, and a good part of his face besides. He twisted to look at the Ogier. Loyal pointed off to his right slowly, as if motion might attract attention. At first, Rand could not see anything. Then a shadow moved, not 10 paces away. A tall, bulky shadow, and snouted. Rand's breath caught. A Trolloc. It lifted its snout as if sniffing. Some of them hunted by scent. For an instant, the void wavered. Someone stirred in the Dark Friend camp, and the Trolloc turned to peer that way. Rand froze, letting the calm of emptiness envelop him. His hand was on his sword, but he did not think of it. The void was all. Whatever happened, happened. He watched the Trolloc without blinking. A moment longer, the snouted shadow watched the Dark Friend camp, then, as if satisfied, folded itself down beside a tree. Almost immediately, a low sound, like coarse cloth ripping, drifted from it. Loyal put his mouth close to Rand's ear.
"It's asleep,"
he whispered incredulously. Rand nodded. Tam had told him Trollocs were lazy, apt to give up any task but killing unless fear kept them to it. He turned back to the camp. All was still and quiet there again. The moonbeam no longer shone on the chest, but he knew now which shadow it was. He could see it in his mind, floating beyond the void, glittering, golden, chased with silver, in the glow of Sidene. The Horn of Valyr and the dagger Matt needed, both almost within reach of his hand. Selene's face drifted with the chest. They could follow Fane's party in the morning and wait until Ingtar joined them. If Ingtar did come, if he still followed the trail without his sniffer. No. There would never be a better chance. All within reach of his hand. Selene was waiting on the mountain. Motioning for Loyal to follow, Rand dropped to his belly and crawled toward the chest. He heard the Ogier's muffled gasp, but his eyes were fixed on that one shadowed mound ahead. Dark Friends and Trollocs lay to left and right of him, but once he had seen Tam stalk close enough to a deer to put his hand on its flank before the animal bounded off. He had tried to learn from Tam.
Madness.
The thought flew by dimly, almost out of reach.
This is madness. You are going mad.
Dim thoughts, someone else's thoughts. Slowly, silently, he slithered to that one special shadow and put out a hand. Ornate traceries worked in gold met his touch. It was the chest that held the Horn of Valyr. His hand touched something else on the lid. The dagger, bare-bladed. In the dark, his eyes widened. Remembering what it had done to Matt, he jerked back, the void shifting with his agitation. The man sleeping nearby, no more than 2 paces from the chest, no one else lay so close by spans, groaned in his sleep and thrashed at his blankets. Rand allowed the void to sweep thought and fear away. Murmuring uneasily in his sleep, the man stilled. Rand let his hand go back to the dagger, not quite touching it. It had not harmed Matt in the beginning. Not much, at least. Not quickly. In one swift motion, he lifted the dagger, stuck it behind his belt, and pulled his hand away, as if it might help to minimize the time it touched his bare skin. Perhaps it would, and Matt would die without the dagger. He could feel it there, almost a weight pulling him down, pressing against him. But in the void, sensation was as distant as thought, and the feel of the dagger faded quickly to something he was used to. He wasted only a moment more staring at the shadow-wrapped chest. The horn had to be inside. But he did not know how to open it, and he could not lift it by himself. Then he looked around for Loyal. He found the Ogier crouched not far behind him, massive head swiveling as he peered back and forth from sleeping human Dark Friends to sleeping Trollocs. Even in the night, it was plain Loyal's eyes were as wide as they could go. They looked as big as saucers in the light of the moon. Rand reached out and took Loyal's hand. The Ogier gave a start and gasped. Rand put a finger across his lips, set Loyal's hand on the chest, and mimed lifting. For a time, it seemed forever in the night, with Dark Friends and Trollocs all around. It could not have been more than heartbeats. Loyal stared. Then, slowly, he put his arms around the golden chest and stood. He made it seem effortless. Ever so carefully, even more carefully than he had come in, Rand began to walk out of the camp, behind Loyal and the chest. Both hands on his sword, he watched the sleeping Dark Friends, the still shapes of the Trollocs. All those shadowed figures began to be swallowed deeper in the darkness as they drew away.
Almost free. We've done it.
The man who had been sleeping near the chest suddenly sat up with a strangled yell, then leaped to his feet.
It's gone! Wake, you filth! It's gone!
Fane's voice.
Even in the void, Rand recognized it. The others scrambled erect, dark friends and Trollocs, calling to know what was happening, growling and snarling. Fane's voice rose to a howl.
"I know it is you, Althor. You're hiding from me, but I know you are out there. Find him! Find him! Althor!"
Men and Trollocs scattered in every direction. Wrapped in emptiness, Rand kept moving. Almost forgotten in entering the camp, Sidene pulsed at him.
"He cannot see us," Loyal whispered low, "once we reach the horses."
A Trolloc leaped out of the dark at them. Cruel eagle's beak and a man's face where mouth and nose should have been, scythe-like sword already whistling through the air. Rand moved without thought. He was one with the blade. "Cat dances on the wall." The Trolloc screamed as it fell, screamed again as it died.
"Run, Loyal!"
Rand commanded. Sidene called to him.
"Run!"
He was dimly aware of Loyal lumbering to an awkward gallop, but another Trolloc loomed from the night, boar snouted and tusked, spiked axe raised. Smoothly, Rand glided between Trolloc and Ogier, Loyal musket the horn away. Head and shoulders taller than Rand, half again as wide, the Trolloc came at him with a silent snarl. The courtier taps his fan. No scream this time. He walked backwards after Loyal, watching the night. Sidene sang to him, such a sweet song. The power could burn them all, burn Fane and all the rest to cinders.
No!
Two more Trollocs, wolf and ram, gleaming teeth and curling horns. Lizard in the thorn bush. He rose smoothly from one knee as the second toppled, horns almost brushing his shoulder. The song of Sidene caressed him with seduction, pulled him with a thousand silken strings.
Burn them all with the power.
No, no!
Better dead than that. If I were dead, it would be done with.
A knot of Trollocs came into sight, hunting uncertainly. Three of them. Four. Suddenly one of them pointed to Rand and raised a howl. The rest answered as they charged.
Let it be done with!
Rand shouted, and leaped to meet them. For an instant, surprise slowed them. Then they came on with guttural cries, gleeful, bloodthirsty, swords and maces raised. He danced among them to the song of Sidene. Hummingbird kisses the honey rose. So cunning, that song, filling him. Cat on hot sand. The sword seemed alive in his hands, as if it had never been before, and he fought as if a heron-marked blade could keep Sidene from him. The heron spreads its wings. Rand stared at the motionless shapes on the ground around him.
Better to be dead, he murmured.
He raised his eyes, back up the hill toward where the camp lay. Fane was there, and dark friends and more Trollocs. Too many to fight, too many to face and live. He took a step that way, another.
Rand, come on!
Loyal's urgent whispered call drifted through the emptiness to him.
For life and the light, Rand, come on!
Carefully, Rand bent to wipe his blade on a Trolloc's coat. Then, as formally as if Lan were watching him train, he sheathed it.
Rand!
As though he knew of no urgency, Rand joined Loyal by the horses. The Ogier was tying the golden chest atop his saddle with straps from his saddlebags. His cloak was stuffed underneath to help balance the chest and the rounded saddle seat. Sidene sang no more. It was there, that stomach-turning glow, but it held back as if he truly had fought it off. Wonderingly, he let the void vanish.
I think I'm going mad, he said.
Suddenly realizing where they were, he peered back the way they had come. Shouts and howls came from half a dozen different directions, signs of search, but none of pursuit. Yet. He swung up onto Red's back.
Sometimes I do not understand half of what you say, Loyal said. If you must go mad, could it at least wait until we are back with the Lady Selene and Huron?
How are you going to ride with that in your saddle?
I will run.
The Ogier suited his words by breaking into a quick trot, pulling his horse behind him by the reins. Rand followed. The pace Loyal set was as fast as a horse could trot. Rand was sure the Ogier could not keep it for long, but Loyal's feet did not flag. Rand decided that his boast of once outrunning a horse might really be true. Now and again, Loyal looked behind them as he ran,
but the shouts of Dark Friends and howls of Trollocs faded with distance. Even when the ground began to slope upwards more sharply, Loyal's pace barely slowed, and he trotted into their campsite on the mountainside with only a little hard breathing.
"You have it."
Celine's voice was exultant as her gaze rested on the ornately worked chest on Loyal's saddle. She was wearing her own dress again. It looked as white as new snow to Rand.
"I knew you would make the right choice. May I have a look at it?"
"Did any of them follow, my lord?"
Huron asked anxiously. He stared at the chest with awe, but his eyes slid off into the night down the mountain.
"If they followed, we'll have to move quick."
"I do not think they did. Go to the outcrop and see if you can see anything." Rand climbed down from his saddle as Huron hurried up the mountain. "Celine, I don't know how to open the chest.
Loyal, do you?"
The Ogier shook his head.
"Let me try."
Even for a woman of Celine's height, Loyal's saddle was high above the ground. She reached up to touch the finely wrought patterns on the chest, ran her hands across them, pressed. There was a click, and she pushed the lid up, let it fall open. As she stretched on tiptoe to put a hand inside, Rand reached over her shoulder and lifted out the Horn of Valyr. He had seen it once before, but never touched it. Though beautifully made, it did not look a thing of great age or power. A curled golden horn, gleaming in the faint light with inlaid silver script flowing around the mouth of the bell. He touched the strange letters with a finger. They seemed to catch the moon.
"Tia mi aven moridin isainde vadin,"
Celine said.
"The grave is no bar to my call."
"You will be greater than Arthur Hawkwing ever was."
"I am taking it to Shinar, to Lord Agomar."
It should go to Tar Valon, he thought, but I'm done with Aes Sedai. Let Agomar or Ingtar take it to them.
He set the horn back in the chest. It cast back the moonlight, pulled the eye.
"That is madness," Celine said.
Rand flinched at the word.
"Mad or not, it is what I'm doing. I told you, Celine, I want no part of greatness. Back there, I thought I did. For a while, I thought I wanted things. Light, she's so beautiful. Egwene, Celine, I'm not worthy of either of them. Something seemed to take hold of me. Sa'adin came for me, but I fought it off with a sword. Or is that mad, too?"
He breathed deeply. "Shinar is where the Horn of Valyr belongs. Or if not there, Lord Agomar will know what to do with it." Huron appeared from up the mountain.
"There's fire there again, Lord Rand, and bigger than ever. And I thought I heard shouting. It was all down in the hills. I don't think they've come upon the mountain yet."
"You misunderstand me, Rand," Celine said. "You cannot go back now. You are committed. Those friends of the dark will not simply go away because you've taken the horn from them. Far from it. Unless you know some way to kill them all, they will be hunting you now as you hunted them before."
"No!"
Loyal and Huron looked surprised at Rand's vehemence. He softened his tone.
"I don't know any way to kill them all. They can live forever for all of me."
Celine's long hair shifted in waves as she shook her head.
"Then you cannot go back, only onward. You can reach the safety of Kyrian's walls long before you could return to Shinar. Does the thought of a few more days in my company seem so onerous?"
Rand stared at the chest. Celine's company was far from burdensome, but near her he could not help thinking things he should not. Still, trying to ride back north meant risking Fain and his followers. She was right in that. Fain would never give up. Ingtar would not give up either. If Ingtar came on southward, and Rand knew of no reason for him to turn aside, he would arrive at Kyrian soon or late.
"Kyrian," he agreed. "You will have to show me where you live, Celine. I've never been to Kyrian."
He reached to close the chest.
"You took something else from the Friends of the Dark?" Celine said. "You spoke earlier of a dagger."
"How could I forget?" He left the chest as it was and pulled the dagger from his belt. The bare blade curved like a horn, and the quillons were golden serpents. Set in the hilt, a ruby as big as his thumbnail winked like an evil eye in the moonlight. Ornate as it was, tainted as he knew it was, it felt no different from any other knife.
"Be careful," Celine said. "Do not cut yourself."
Rand felt a shiver inside. If simply carrying it was dangerous, he did not want to know what a cut from it would do.
"This is from Shadar Logoth," he told the others.
"It will twist whoever carries it for long, taint them to the bone the way Shadar Logoth is tainted. Without Aes Sedai healing, that taint will kill eventually."
"So that is what ails Matt," Loyal said softly. "I never suspected."
Huron stared at the dagger in Rand's hand and wiped his own hands in the front of his coat. The sniffer did not look happy. "None of us must handle it any more than is necessary," Rand went on. "I will find some way to carry it."
"It is dangerous."
Celine frowned at the blade as if the snakes were real and poisonous.
"Throw it away. Leave it or bury it if you wish to keep it from other hands, but be rid of it."
"Matt needs it," Rand said firmly.
"It is too dangerous. You said so yourself."
"He needs it.
The Aes Sedai said he would die without it to use in healing him."
"They still have a string on him, but this blade will cut it. Until I'm rid of it, and the horn, they have a string on me. But I'll not dance however much they pull."
He set the dagger in the chest inside the curl of the horn. There was just room for it, and pulled the lid down. It locked with a sharp snap.
"That should shield us from it."
He hoped it would. Lan said the time to sound most sure was when you were least certain.
"The chest will surely shield us," Celine said in a tight voice. "And now I mean to finish what is left of my night's sleep."
Rand shook his head. "We are too close. Fane seems able to find me sometimes."
"Seek the oneness if you are afraid," Celine said.
"I want to be as far from those dark friends come morning as we can be. I will saddle your mare."
"Stubborn."
She sounded angry, and when he looked at her, her mouth curved in a smile that never came close to her dark eyes.
"A stubborn man is best once..."
Her voice trailed off, and that worried him. Women often seem to leave things unsaid, and in his limited experience, it was what they did not say that proved the most trouble. She watched in silence as he slung her saddle onto the white mare's back and bent to fashion the girths.
"Gather them all in,"
Fane snarled. The goat-snouted Trollic backed away from him. The fire, piled high with wood now, lit the hilltop with flickering shadows. His human followers huddled near the blaze, fearful to be out in the dark with the rest of the Trollocs.
"Gather them, everyone that still lives, and if any think to run, let them know they'll get what that one got."
He gestured to the first Trolloc that had brought him word Althor was not to be found. It still snapped at ground muddied with its own blood, hooves scraping trenches as they jerked.
"Go,"
Fane whispered, and the goat-snouted Trolloc ran into the night. Fane glanced contemptuously at the other humans. "They'll have their uses still," then turned to stare into the night toward Kinslayer's dagger. Althor was up there somewhere in the mountains. With the horn. His teeth grated audibly at the thought. He did not know where exactly, but something pulled him toward the mountains. Toward Althor. That much of the Dark One's gift remained to him. He had hardly thought of it, had tried not to think of it, until suddenly, after the horn was gone, Althor was there, drawing him as meat draws a starving dog.
"I am a dog no longer. A dog no longer!"
He heard the others shifting uneasily around the fire, but he ignored them.
"You will pay for what was done to me, Althor. The world will pay."
He cackled at the night with mad laughter.
"The world will pay!"